thought that's something that happens to the people, not me. Genuinely didn't believe that that was going to be a possibility. Like, I really didn't. Then I did, and I just thought, wow, this is possible. I can do it.
Wherever you're at in your business, you could take something from each different stage of where Dan's got, because your journey is really interesting.
It was like Groundhog Day, and I just looked around and like I just thought, this, I can't do this.
Hey, be sure you stick around because we're only getting warmed up.
When I get a follow and I like, oh, who's this? And I look through and then like...
She's engaged.
Yeah, but if I see them in a wedding dress, I'm like, oh, okay.
Unfollow.
Yeah.
I do exactly the same. Right, okay, look into that camera there.
This one?
Yeah.
And what do I say? Do I say, hi, welcome to the podcast?
Yeah. What have our listeners and viewers got in store today, Adam?
So... some people will know, we've spoken about this on the podcast before, but me and Howard have an online course which goes back to 2020.
You're booking the course straight away this early.
Yeah. And you can buy it now for $9.99. So it's a course on how to become a wedding videographer. So it's got elements of learning to film weddings, but also a lot of emphasis on the business side. So we have with us today Mr. Daniel Johnson, who is a student of the Don't Speak Yet, This Is Still My Time. you took our course, and it's someone that took the course in 2020 when it started, and before then he was working in a completely different job, and he's then gone on, he took the course, he did loads of other things, and he's to the point now where he's doing 40 weddings plus a year. He's charging good money, what he wants to charge, and he quit his job within a year. Today's a really interesting episode because we're going to talk to him about every single stage of when, how he started, how he got into weddings, how he got from that first initial few bookings to then building a business, and then how he's progressed his pricing to the point where he's at now, where he's in that really interesting market in videography. Of the kind of, if it's okay to say, the mid-range sort of market, £1,500 zone, and then it's how to get to those next steps from there, because getting out of that market is quite tough. So I'm hoping for everyone listening today, wherever you're at in your business, you could take something from each different stage of where Dan's got, because your journey is really interesting. So welcome, Dan.
Welcome to the podcast. Yeah,
that was a really long-winded intro.
I was enjoying that.
I had it in my head and I wanted to get it all out.
I think this episode is going to be really, really interesting for somebody who wants to get into the wedding industry. They've got a particular skill, or they fancy a bit of an idea of where they could work in the wedding industry, but they've got no idea of how to actually start it, do it, you know, what business moves you need to make, your marketing moves to get from there to there. And it could be quite a daunting world for some people looking from the outside inwards. God, that wedding industry looks tricky, looks a bit clicky. And it's like, but I'm dead good at flowers. I'm dead good at DJing. I'm dead good at, you know, whatever, photography or whatever. I know I can do it. And I've got, you know, I'm going to get them skills. I'm going to learn them skills. But how do I turn it into a business? And I think Dan's journey's really interesting for that, because exactly
you've done just that, haven't you? I think it's fair to say.
And the fact, Adam mentioned before, you quit your job within a year after coming on our course, but have, you know, getting that inspiration to think, yeah, I want to go and work in weddings. So we're going to ask you that question. How did you manage to do it in such a short space of time? But let's take us back to the beginning and what gave you that first inspiration to want to get into weddings.
It did look fun. For sure, and I thought it just makes sense to do weddings because that would allow me to leave the day job.
What were you doing because of this beforehand? What was the job?
A civil servant.
Civil servant.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Anything seems fun when you're working civil servant.
Yeah, I did. You know, it's a good job and everything with lots of perks and there's good money and everything. But it wasn't for me. I didn't enjoy it. It wasn't fulfilling. But I always had this affinity for filmmaking, anything to do with cameras, basically. So,
what perks is being a civil servant?
We're not trying to shit on civil servants, by the way.
Well, like, you know, always get your weekends off, like flexi time, and
okay, there
and
we
all
go.
That. Like, yeah,
so it's the job stability, because this is just the self-employed thing alone. There's the job security,
the
you know, the pensions and all the stuff that come with being working for a corporation.
And it wasn't a difficult job,
civil service.
Yeah.
But
yeah, so
would it probably be a bit scary? I mean, you're in that zone, you think, oh yeah, I've got my regular money coming in, I've got my weekends off, but I really want to do something else because I'm not fulfilled in that job.
But this is the thing, a lot of people it's a 9 to 5. You get stuck in that drudgery of your.
Well, that's it, and like full-time job. A lot of like family and stuff for civil servants and stuff. So I can't think of anyone that had like left it especially to go self-employed and take that risk. So it was a massive decision, something that I never really thought was even going to be a possibility. And should I do it? And so many questions around it.
Feel bad now for knocking civil servants.
But there's loads of people that are in a job that they're not fulfilled by, and you know, they'd like to do something, but it is very hard. You think, well, I can't just quit my job. Like, yeah, I need the money. But
yeah, that was exactly it. And if it wasn't for my wife, 100%, I probably still would be there, because she told me she came into my office. I had a little office at home, and stood over my shoulder and said, like, come on, you need to write that email, you know. And I wrote it and made me hit send.
That was the point.
And that was it. That was the point. But we'll get onto that, because there's the build up to that point.
So you've always liked cameras. You're working in a job.
Yeah. It was like, honestly, like an out of body experience. One day I just sat there and it was like lunchtime, and I looked around and it was just the same thing over and over again. I could almost be like, oh, I think he's going to walk in a minute and take his coat off, and then he's going to put the kettle on.
Like Groundhog Day.
It was like Groundhog Day. And I just looked around and like, I just thought, this, I can't do this. What do I like? Anything to do with cameras, filming, and just getting out and about, seeing more of the world and stuff, rather than just having to go to an office every day that wasn't fulfilling. So
what did you do?
I thought like that was my thing, cameras. So just kept researching that, like went onto the YouTube, was like watching videos on that, learning, because I did study media at college. So it wasn't like a completely from scratch sort of thing. But over the years, I just fell into jobs. Forgot most of it. So yeah, just like recaps, tried to remember everything through YouTube and what have you, and then just eventually found your course.
So before that, you've done a bit of commercial. You learned how to basically use the cameras, and you start to go out to businesses and offer little video you could do so they can promote themselves. That's where you started off.
Yeah, that was the first thing I was doing. Yeah, some like local commercial work for businesses, which videos was not very good at all. And it wasn't until someone said, why didn't you get into weddings? And I thought, no, that's not, I can't do that. And then
we've all got one of those stories where, especially photo and video, if you've got a camera, someone you know is going to go, have you thought about doing a wedding?
Yeah, so there was someone that was speaking about it at my job. And someone said, oh, Simon in room whatever, like he does weddings. Why didn't you, you know, in his spare time, why don't you email him? So I did. And he said, like, oh, yeah, I've got a wedding coming up soon. You're more than welcome to come along. So I thought, brilliant. Like, that'll give me some experience. Did it. And as the date drew nearer, the bride and groom messaged Simon, who was obviously the photographer, and said, that guy you've got coming, does he do video? And he was like, yeah, he does, actually. Then they asked me to film the day. So my first ever wedding was a charged one. And I was doing, I had experience with videos and stuff,
brilliant,
filmmaking before. So £400 was my first wedding. So it's not bad considering the first one when a lot of people do it for free. So yeah, I was nervous and everything, but enjoyed it. And then I remember actually being quite proud of it for some reason and sending it to you. And you were very nice in your reply.
Oh,
to be honest, was it shit?
It was awful.
At the Glendower.
Yes.
In Lytham. Yeah, I do. I remember you sending me that. Yeah.
Yeah, you were like, oh, yeah, it's good. You know, some bits there might be a little bit like overexposed.
So you sent it to me.
Yeah,
yeah. That so at that well. Point, you've found me on well, few yeah. hours on YouTube.
It was a friend of mine from college that said, oh, there's this fella called Adam. Like, I think her boss was one of your friends, and you did videos for the hotels, That's how she knew about you. So then I found you on YouTube and was watching like your videos and your behind the scenes and just getting more of a picture of what it is. And that's when I thought, like, yeah, that's what I want to do. Do weddings, get into that.
This is screaming at me, network and people, isn't it? Because what he said there, he's chatting to somebody at work. They were doing wedding photography. They needed a video. He's chatting to him. And then you were talking about he found you because of a friend of mine, Steve. It's people that really make it. And this is why your network's so important. Certainly when you're starting out, just going asking people or finding out from people who do stuff. And you went, like, so you went along with that guy, and it sort of led from there.
It did, yeah. That's literally it. And like you say, I think in the course, like you go self-employed, it's like you start telling people, starting telling the universe, putting it out there that you are a wedding singer.
Yeah.
And that's what I was doing. I'm a wedding videographer. Just started to do that. I'm a videographer. I didn't really talk about my day job that much and just start talking to people and network.
You start presenting yourself as a videographer and then
talking out loud. He's right. I did exactly the same when I was doing restaurants and bars, and all of a sudden I said, I want to do weddings now. I'm going to become a wedding singer. Yeah. I just started to tell everybody, oh, I'm a wedding singer. I'd not even done any weddings. And then they just started to come to me. It was bizarre.
Yeah. But then not long after my first wedding, COVID came around and sort of messed everything up.
Okay.
So
didn't it just?
Yeah. So I hung on to the day job, learned in that time when we was all working from home and everything. I bought the course and then just started watching that.
Right, yeah. I've got the dots now. So you did a wedding. Yeah. Someone recommended you to me. You found me online. So that's how you've become aware of my course.
Yeah.
And then you, okay.
Yeah. So,
but what you've done, as well as the networking side, you've done loads of research online, you've come up and you've been shown to me, but whatever field that you're in within the wedding world, or you're trying to get into DJing or floristry or whichever, especially now, there'll be someone out there on YouTube or doing online courses or mentoring or something for whatever niche in the wedding industry, because there's so much content now than there was back then.
Oh yeah.
So what you did was do that research, then you've discovered me, then you've gone, you've found someone that I want to emulate, I want to do what he's doing, and then you consume it all. So you'd like, it's whatever niche you're in, there'll be someone out there that you can look up to and go, and this is what I did with what you helped me to do. These are the top guys, emulate what they're doing. And you just kind of absorb everything that you
buy their courses, follow what they're doing. Yeah.
And then what? And then obviously you bought our course. But that's you invest, not to blow smoke up our course, but anything like that, you've invested in yourself and you've recognized that I want to get to where that person is and they're offering a course and it could be a load of silly bullshit, but I'm going to trust it and I'm going to buy it. And then I'm going to and what you did was that then you actually took it and applied it and then put the work in off the back.
Very useful. You covered everything in it. I'm the sort of person that would just normally go, like, try and wing it myself and figure it out as I go and, you know, learn. But I thought, like, no, it's almost like fast tracking everything. If I enroll in this course, you guys have got a wealth of experience, very knowledgeable, and I'll pick up all that and sort of give me a shortcut into where I want to be.
Getting the right guidance, isn't it, right from the start? I mean,
when
I was starting to get into weddings and I wanted to take my business to the next level, I wanted to become popular and get lots of bookings, I went through a period of a couple of years. I must have spent 10,000 quid on going to seminars and buying courses and, you know, like you said, looking at the people where you want to be. If I was looking at other business, because there was nothing in the wedding industry back then, but I had to just go on like business mentoring courses and learn absolute. In fact, I remember seeing somebody I know in the wedding industry at one of those courses as well. And it's just getting the right mentorship and consuming the right content to get you where you want to be.
And you can go like just general business entrepreneurial,
which all I had to do that
because apply that back to what you're doing. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I think we did our course, because there was nothing on offer, certainly in the UK, which taught anything.
What I found in videography was there was a lot of workshops, and I went on some of them, and they were all focused on the filmmaking, which is essential, like, to learn. And I did some great workshops where I learned how to film a wedding, what kit to have, how to edit a wedding film, all that technical stuff. But then there's nothing on how to book weddings, how to speak to people.
Well, that was massive selling point.
How to do a wedding fair.
I did some work with, you know, videography before it, so I thought, like, surely there'll be some things in that area I'll pick up, like learning more in depth about how you approach a wedding and stuff. But the business side of it was a massive thing,
really
marketing and everything. So I found that really insightful, and I still implement, like, very much everything.
But you've got to try and find the right you know, content, core, whatever. But just being brave enough and recognizing that you've got to invest in that education and better yourself in order, and what you said, just knowing and trusting that will fast track you to where you want to be. Like, I could just keep winging it for another couple of years and figuring it out, or I could learn from these people that have got the experience.
And it obviously worked, because within 1 year I was handing in my notice.
I was going to ask that. So you got the course, and you got the skills to create your wedding films. What did you do in that year? Take us from the beginning. What were you doing at the start? Obviously, you got a course and you're following those guidelines, but what were they and what things really worked to help you get those first initial bookings in the bag from when you got the course? Because, well, like I said, that a year, it goes by like that, and you managed to quit your job.
Not long,
you must have been hell for leather doing all sorts of different things. What were those things that helped you 100% quit?
100% just putting it out there into the universe, just like what we said. I started telling everyone, networking, and just saying yes to everything that came your way, because you don't know what that could lead on to. Even if it's not wedding related, even if it's someone's like a birthday party, like a job doing that, filming that, or just let everyone know, put it all over social media, you know, have an account, have like a place for people to go and look to. I don't think I had a website at that point. Just saying yes to everything and, you know, making stuff happen. So like, there's not always going to be opportunities, so like, create them.
Love that.
Yeah. So that's basically what I was doing. And then just these inquiries came in, and just get back to people straight away, say yes, just be reliable. And
Put it out there. Great customer service when you do get them inquiries. It's quite inspiring, that. I quite feel a little bit taken aback by it.
What?
But as in, you create your own universe, don't you?
Yeah.
You get up there and create. It's like you said, there's not many opportunities. You have to create your own opportunities.
Nice. Sounds just right,
by knocking on doors, putting it out to the world. This is what I'm doing now.
What things, when you say you created your own opportunities, what things were you doing? Is there any like standout?
There is, yeah, a couple.
Were you knocking on doors? Were you approaching venues and saying, this is me?
I was reaching out a lot online and messaging like places and venues.
The modern knocking of a door.
Yeah.
The slide in the DM.
Yeah, but so I still like had the day job at that point in that like first year. Yeah. So I wasn't like desperate for like to like earn money in it. So I probably could have done more, you know.
You weren't rushing it.
Yeah. But then when I had like a wedding, it was just making sure that I gave a good impression, just like what you guys say, you know, dressing smart, always like having a smile on your face, just being a very friendly looking, like approachable person. And then people will remember how you made them feel
as well.
Yeah. And that's it. Just leaving a good impression and asking people, you know, they don't mind leaving reviews and things like that. And if you know anyone, just reminding people, things like that. If you know anyone in the industry, or like, you know, if someone getting married, I'm a wedding videographer, like, you should get them to message me, things like that, just making people get in touch.
How quickly did you start booking up?
Yeah, well, quite quick, because obviously it was that first year, so it was June, and then I looked at my calendar, and I spoke to you about this, Howard, that I thought, I'm never going to have like X amount of money in the bank to be able to quit my job, this massive safety net. And you said, you'll never have that in your bank. You're going to just have to go for it and just quit your job. And yeah, because I was too scared. I thought, you need like a bunch of money, a massive safety net, because I'm going to lose that like monthly income, that security. So I'm going to need this like wealth. And I thought, I've kind of got that in bookings. I've got 6 months worth of them. Might not have the money yet, but that will see me through up until Christmas. So I didn't have much into the new year after that, but I knew that was enough to go 6 months. And I thought, well, if I can get that now while I'm still tied down to a day job. I mean, I did drop a few days. So I was doing 5 days a week. Then first year I dropped some four, and then three. Mm. And then it was the jump from three to nothing. So I thought, 6 months where I can just apply myself and get everything sorted and website and just fill out on social media, make it look amazing, start talking to more people.
Yeah.
And then at the weddings, create opportunities, speak to the photographers that I'll be with and other suppliers, just make them remember me, you know, and then that'll hopefully help within 2022, which was like my first full year.
So you worked out 6 months worth of bookings,
6 months,
i.e. 6 months worth of money coming in so that you were covered. So you took the bit of the bullet and quit your job and said to yourself, I've got to make it work.
I've got to make it work.
Beyond that,
like,
I've not got my job anymore, so it's got to work.
Yeah.
But I mean, fair play to go. And
it's mega.
What's great about you, Dan, and stood out amongst our course students, but also just generally, you had that real belief. And I've always found that you proper do believe in the process and believe in yourself, in the sense of like, you had 6 months and you just went, no, I can do this.
I can do it.
Yeah. I can make it work. And obviously what happens then is that you quit your job and all of a sudden you've got all that free time.
Yeah.
So all that you've done up to that point to get 6 months worth whilst you still had a job, imagine what you can do when you don't have a job and you can just spend every single day working on it nonstop.
Exactly. That's the, you know, got to take risks, haven't you? And that was always like something that I was thinking about. And going back, that's why like, my wife just pushed me, because I was always obsessing about quitting and leaving. I just didn't want to pull the trigger. But she obviously believed in me and, yeah, just eventually took that risk.
What was it that made you do it?
My wife, probably. You know, because I just didn't, that wasn't for me, that 9-to-5 job. I mean, like I say, it's a good job and everything, but it just wasn't for me. And I just liked getting out there. I wanted to have my own business and my own time, not be tied down.
I think you get to a point, don't you, and you this realization hits you and you're like, I can actually quit my job now.
Yeah,
got enough money there. I've got a year's worth of bookings.
It's different for everyone. You might go, I need a year's worth, or I need 18 months worth, or you might just go, do you know what? I've got 6 months. I'm just going to go for it.
Just pulling it back a little bit, Dan, what would you say to anybody who's listening or watching who wants to get into weddings and start getting bookings in? What are one or two or three things or whatever that you did right from the start that brought bookings in, that quite specific on that, whether it is ringing a venue and or getting on a wedding fair? And is anything really stick out, or any advice you give to somebody? If you do these three things right at the start, you're pretty much guaranteed to get some bookings from it. Anything stand out?
Well, social media, you know, constantly posting, having a place for people to go to. So if you do eventually like meet someone at a wedding, whether it's a photographer or other guests and stuff, that they can follow you and see. So yeah, having like a fleshed out Instagram or a website, if you've got a website.
So you've got content there which people can go and be
populating it.
Have a bank of stuff for people to go to. Yeah. So then when you do get those weddings, those are opportunities to make more bookings. So start speaking to people. So talking to the photographer and then letting them see, you know, oh yeah, he's not bad with his work and stuff. So I don't mind recommending him. He was a likable guy. And
like what you said before, you're manifesting the fact that you're a wedding singer before you're even singing it.
Yeah, yeah.
And you put in all the content on Instagram as if you are an actual operating wedding videographer before you've even
that helps.
Got too far. Yeah.
So the starting off is putting it out there, getting yourself prepared and set up, asking people, anybody getting married, that's going to lead to hopefully you're going to get one or two gigs out of that. And then when you're at them gigs, like you said then, speak to the photographer, speak to the video, speak to the other suppliers and get to know them a little bit and start to kind of initially build your network.
Yeah. And say yes to everything.
To everything. You know, somebody else on our podcast said the similar thing, wasn't it? Who was it? Nala and Not, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Say yes at the start. Get out the help of her. Say yes to everything.
Have the wide net and then you can niche down when you've start saying no.
I was saying yes to bookings that were 2 hours away and I wasn't even driving. I only passed my test in August of 2021.
No way!
I know, that's not even that long ago, really.
Wow. I don't think it all came together perfectly.
It did.
Say yes and figure it out.
Yeah, so I took a booking and then I was like, right, it's quite far away. I have no way of getting there. I'm going to have to really like pass my driving test. So I failed twice before. Booked it, and it was booked the earliest I could get it because it was a backlog because of COVID. The earliest I could get it was a day before I had a wedding at Nunsmere Hall. So
I think I remember
an hour and a half away. We talked
to you about it.
Wow.
Say yes to everything and figure it out later. So I took the booking, then thought, right, need to get there. So passed the test.
Can't
luckily
say that you didn't put the graft in though to like,
no, it's a lot of work.
You left job, you've got to make this work, you can't even drive, you're taking all these bookings.
That's how much I wanted it though. It's just say yes and then figure it out later. And luckily I passed, and then the next day went to the wedding on my own on the motorway and stuff. So it's quite daunting.
Liberating at the same time
it
though.
It was massively, yeah. I thought like, you know, this is it, like I've done it, like I'm driving to my own sort of jobs now and stuff.
That's how much you wanted it.
Yeah, I had no way of getting there. I mean, somehow I would have got there, you know, whether it was like getting a bus or a train.
There's always fixes. You could have got a lift. You could have taxied it.
I would have been there. Like, you know, without the question whether I would have turned up or not. But yeah, luckily I did that and passed.
But you say yes to these things and then it forces you to act, doesn't it? So you've then gone, yeah, I do need to pass my test now.
Well, it's just, creating opportunities, isn't it? If you say yes, and then you
create
and then, like, yeah, you know, the best way for me to, like, get a and bookings is a wedding. I see that as like a, almost like a wedding fair, you know, leaving a good impression and speaking with people and on Instagram, because I try and follow like all brides and grooms and stuff. I ask what their Instagram is and follow them. And then they'll always post pictures of the stag and hen do and stuff. So don't be afraid to comment on that. And then maybe look at who's liked it and follow some of them, because those will be the, and they always tag like the groomsmen and bridesmaids, follow them so they can, you will pop up on their Instagram before the wedding. So then they know you, who you are.
Makes
before the wedding.
That when we turn up in the morning and the bridesmaids and the bride and they're all getting ready. And they already feel familiar with you because
they
followed you.
I'm trying to build. I want people to feel like, yeah, they know me and just build.
Especially if their profile picture is a little engagement ring. That always helps, doesn't it?
Exactly, yeah. when I get a follow and I like, oh, who's this? And I look through and then like...
She's engaged. Yeah.
Yeah, but if I see them in a wedding dress, I'm like, oh, okay.
Unfollow.
Yeah.
I do exactly the same.
Yeah.
Someone's laughing. Oh, she's in a wedding dress.
Oh, yeah. Forget her.
Yeah.
But then when they've got the ring like that, like with...
If it's an engagement ring, like, yeah, follow you.
Yeah.
Exactly. Hi. Happy engagement. So true. You must have done it, people watching or listening. If you're in the wedding industry, you get a follow by somebody in a wedding dress. It's like, forget though.
Yeah, the profile picture is a wedding dress.
No, I don't do that. So you quit your job. What happened then when, you know, like Monday morning when you didn't have to go to your old day job? Like, what difference did that make?
Oh,
what did you start to do with that time?
Work, just all the time, every day, all day. It was a lot. Work.
And what did that look like for you?
Well, I thought it would be more like, yeah, I'll have all this like free time, I can do that, but it wasn't like that at all. It was just work with everything, just always trying to grow something and flesh out the website. And yeah, it was just, there was always something to do.
Even just researching other videos, other videographers, looking, like listening to podcasts and consuming content. I'm going to work on my website. I'm going to re-edit some of my old films. Like, there's
it was
stuff,
that, yeah.
It?
I had a bit, from the very beginning, had a bit more time because it was COVID, but just like what you say in the course and stuff, just refreshing, reusing stuff you've already got and putting it out there. I mean, I look back now on my early days of Instagram and cringe, from what but it was just something at the time. So
yeah, you're repurposing stuff and reusing it and chopping it up and giving yourself content. We get asked that quite a lot, don't we? Well, what do I post on social media? And yeah, it's chopping up your old stuff, making it look
don't
different.
Overthink it, yeah.
Don't overthink. Just put stuff out there. You know.
Did you find that it like then progressed quicker?
Yeah.
Than it had been up to the point.
100% Instagram has been my main thing. So that's what I was doing. Yeah, just crafting, just working all the time, just improving.
But it's funny to say, you know, you get a job, work 9 to 5, or become self-employed, like work 24/7.
Yeah.
But it's a different. It's so much more of an enjoyable.
But I don't mind
work experience, isn't it?
Then I don't mind going to work and sitting there until the early hours. My own product, my own thing, baby.
You're steering your own ship, aren't you?
You get as much out of it as you put in. So it's everything stops with you. Like if it's not working out, it's your fault. If it is working out, it's thanks to you.
Yeah, you've only got yourself to blame. Yeah.
You get control of your life back, don't you?
Control, isn't it? And you can set your own hours, and which normally means most of us work 24/7. And in your case, that is literally true, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're
especially
at 5 a.m. on your edit, on your stories, editing.
But then you always go back, don't you? Think, well, what could it be? Or I could be sat in a box office.
I literally do
doing the same thing. But no, I'm doing this, and I'm doing this for me and my family, and I enjoy it.
I do enjoy it, and it's really rewarding sending your films out and hearing that feedback. You know,
any regrets?
Any regret
leaving your job?
No.
Cool.
One regret that I didn't do it sooner.
Do it sooner. The only regret.
If we can talk, if we can get a bit honest, like candid about your income, how did you replace your income? Did you surpass it?
I doubled it. There's your sound bite. So
yeah, you know I'm going to use that. How long did that take?
The first year really. So obviously I was losing money because I was dropping my days. So I went 4 days a week, then 3 days.
Yeah.
But I was offsetting it with other jobs that was coming in.
Not just weddings, like commercial.
Yeah, I suppose some commercial stuff, which was like I say, awful, but it was something. It was experience and was getting out there and was meeting people. I ended up doing a video. I just approached a guy who owned a tattoo parlor asking because I thought, like, that'd be cool to do that. There's loads of cool things to film in, like a tattoo parlor. So
yeah.
I'll get on to why that was beneficial later. So yeah, I did all that, and then the style shoot. So going to Wigan, I didn't drive, so yeah. You gave me a lift, which is very kind of you.
Yes,
yeah. We'd arranged the style shoot.
Yes,
during lockdown for the course members to get some content. So you came on that.
I did, yeah. And then I remember on the way there, you were talking about Adam and his journey and how he earned 50,000 in his first year. I thought that's something that happens to other people, not me. Genuinely didn't believe that was going to be a possibility. Like, I really didn't. And then I did, and I just thought, wow, this is possible. I can do it. Yeah, I remember when I told you how to message you and said, that's it, I've handed him a notice, and you said to me that I'm now in control of the mothership. And I just loved that. I thought, it's so true. I really am. It's my destiny.
Shivers and everything.
Yeah.
What's going on?
No, it was so...
The last thing Howard needs is more smoke blown up his arse.
He did, and that was like a really, like, defining moment. Like, I remember it and thinking,
well, these are only things that I've heard before that have inspired me in years, and I've kind of passed
it's the
it
same
on.
It's the exact same conversations he had with me when I started,
yeah,
and like it's goosebumpy.
There was a point where Adam was like, can he earn that at weddings?
Yeah, I didn't think it was possible at all,
and then
I looked back and saw the numbers and thought, I can't believe it.
Wow.
It's been wild. It's been a crazy journey. And then, you know, that's the very beginning. So straight away, just reinvesting.
Got into weddings alongside your job. Within a year, you'd quit your job. And then a year after that, you've then doubled your old salary and you're doing like 50K plus, which is something that you had heard and gone, oh, wait, not going to get to that.
Not a chance.
And then you did it in a year. It
happens to other people, not me.
Like, belief and hard work.
I know you could believe in yourself and everything, and might have been a little like part of me that thought, like, maybe if I work really hard, like it's possible, but it just doesn't happen to
you've people got to be like careful that. How you talk to yourself sometimes. There's a real power over things like that. And the thing, the line is, if you say you will, you say you won't, you're probably right. You know, it's kind of a mindset thing, isn't it? But I mean, sometimes people say their brain doesn't know the difference. It's just working on the feedback that you're giving it, and things that you're saying to it will happen in your life, whether it's good or whether it's bad. And I just think having a good positive mindset and having a vision and a good why do I want to do it, and couple all those things together, it's like you just get to work to do it. And there's this big thing about manifestation, but I think there's a lot more to it. I think you do have that belief and you get the really big why, and then all of a sudden you just get to work. And it makes you go and do the work. It's not like you can just manifest it.
It's just falling in your lap. It's because you're subconsciously doing all the extra things to make it happen.
It's you're actively doing it. Well, I had lists of things that I wanted to achieve and attain, and you can just refer back to them and look and just remind you, like, yeah, just keep going.
Top tip, like physically, like, because you say this about putting it on your phone screensaver so you see it all.
Well, that's what I want to get
physically
into. I literally
writing.
Did that. It was like, what do I want? And it was like to be self-employed. Why? So I can spend more time with my family. That's what I had. I wrote this down and set it as my wallpaper.
How am I going to do it?
And then, when? By 2022. Ended up doing it sooner than that. And then, like, how? How was the other one? And can I swear? I think it's warranted for this. By fucking working hard. That's what I put on it. And it really just fueled me. Every time I saw my phone, I just thought, work.
Actually writing it down and having it somewhere that you can
really, really help.
Make a real difference, isn't it? And
great to be reminded all the time why you're actually doing something, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can get bogged down with a lot of hard work and you get tired. And then all of a sudden it's like, why am I doing it? That's why. If there's strong enough why, you'll do it. You know, you'll get through it without a doubt.
And it's just become an obsession for me. Like, I enjoy working and it doesn't feel like work.
Yeah.
That's the key, isn't it? I think if you're enjoying it, like, you know, if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life, sort of thing.
And that's another thing as well that I try and do with social media, which I don't think enough people do, is like people love a success story, don't they, and everything. And it's just celebrating your own achievements. And when you've like hit your goal or whatever, just share that with people.
Put that on
social media.
You share a lot of you.
Yeah,
like, you know, a year ago I wanted to get to this point and I've now achieved it, and I've seen you put these things.
He puts all of his achievements on it. He even did a really toasted a really nice piece of bread last week, put that on them as an achievement as well. And I saw his camera achievement as well. I can't believe I've got this camera.
You're right, you don't see that much, but then people champion that, don't they? Like,
do, yeah,
comment that, and go, that's that, really
engagement that's and stuff. And yeah, obviously on my Facebook, I've still got lots of people from high school, you know, that knew me, and they're seeing someone on their Facebook that's like doing all these things and achieving these goals. And, yeah, it's just so share that. It makes people proud.
People like to cheer you on as well. There's a lot of people in the world that sort of people just see the negative and stuff, but there's a lot of people that love to see you do well, you know, and clap you for it, and it's brilliant.
Yeah.
So if we can get onto prices a little bit and talk, like, obviously within a year you doubled your income and you'd earned that 50k mark, which is amazing. But what price point are you charging there, and how did that like progress?
Incrementally. So first one was £400, like I said, so yeah. I thought I can't do any less than that. It might have been 395 that I did a couple for, because I thought that's like, you know,
you starting out, you charge,
yeah, and it was just like I said, incrementally, so just upping it. And then I was 795 for a while, and then getting to that 1,000 mark was just like, it seemed like it was never going to happen. And then I took my first booking for 1,000 and then all of a sudden everyone's booking.
Figure, it's a cool number.
Oh, it was wild. Yeah, wild.
At what points were you putting them up? What justified I'm gonna go from this to this?
Not needing the money as much. So having the bookings and having that security, because you're bound to take fewer bookings with the people that you're like organically reaching. But it doesn't matter too much, because obviously you're self-employed, you need to earn some money. But if you've got a little bit of a leeway there, where it doesn't matter if so many people book, it's time to just up them prices.
Yeah, once your diary is full and you know you've got that security.
Once that has some sort of level of security.
You can start to test. Once you got this, it's a bit like when I quit my job, but you know, I had like a year's with the bookings ahead of me, and it's like, right, now's the time to quit. I had that security there.
Yeah.
And then another year goes by, and then it's like, I've got even more security now. Let's start testing some prices and let's start upping it and see if you get any resistance.
Yeah. And every time you make a booking at a new price, you can't believe it, can you? You're just like, wow, well, this is...
Oh, I remember, and you'll have had this, like getting to like the 2,000, because obviously the 1,000 was really cool, but you do that quite at the start, and then it takes then a bit of time then to get to 2,000. And I was like, well, if I can never get to that, I'd just be happy. I'd be more than happy with that. That'd be amazing. And then you hit it, and then you go beyond that, and all of a sudden you look back and you're like, oh,
yeah, it's wild.
£1,000 for a wedding. I can't get out of bed for that anymore. that's not true, and I don't think like that. But the kind of money that at first, the £1,000 mark, I wouldn't do a wedding for that much, because I know I can earn more now for a wedding. Yeah. But at the time, that was huge money for me.
Well, £50 was a lot for me when I first started, and I took a... remember when you did the package, which was like a mini wedding package during COVID?
Yeah.
I did that, and then someone booked it and then transferred me £50 into my bank, and I thought, hang on, like, someone's just like transferred me 50 quid just for this. And then it was only like a 250 quid wedding or something. I still remember that moment of seeing that and thinking, this is amazing. And then not too long ago, I've got a £4,000 package, and it's 25% of the package. So I just, someone transferred that into my bank, and £1,000, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
So that was like the deposit.
It's all relative. It's
going up and up and up, and it's like, I can't believe it. But obviously you put in the work and just constantly strive to be the best version of yourself and be better and take risks, like trying new things out here and there.
Big time's working for you.
Yeah, without a doubt.
But yeah, I'm not been afraid to realize to myself that it's still early days. Like, there's still a long way to go.
Yeah, so
I'm not getting too big for my own boots in a sense.
I mean, I might be wrong in this, but from what I've seen, and there's, you know, reports online with videography, the average kind of price point in the UK is about 1,500 quid.
Yeah,
and I remember being in that pool, because a lot of people get to that point, and then it's quite hard to then go past that. And I think I'm right in saying that you're at a point now where you're charging those kind of prices, and you're booking out your year consistently, but 40 a year or something that you do.
Yeah.
And you know, and it's great, and it's good money, and it's really enjoyable. But then to progress like further than that, what's the next steps? What are you doing? Are you now trying to look towards like the next level, or?
Yeah, 100%. My prices very soon will be increasing now, because I want to just move on to the next level.
Are you still basing it on
the average price?
I've got next year secure at this much, so I'm going to put the price up. Is it, are you still doing it? Well, that sort of
I want to put them up now, but I feel like I'm just going to do a few more weddings and get them out there, and again prepare for what I'm going to do. So get my Instagram and website fleshed out and stuff. So when people do inquire and then I would send them that new price, it sort of warrants it. And
I was going to ask that. So the thing,
why you're,
you need to do things, don't you? Some, if you're going to make a jump up in price, so what other things are you going to be doing so you can justify that price? Are you going to, like say, a different website, a better website?
Yeah, website is a big one. Yeah, I want to make that look more premium, high end.
Yeah.
And then slightly my style of filming and stuff. That's,
yeah, your work's got to improve to match.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, so I've been working a lot in the background now on new things that I can implement and a new editing style. So I'm going to get that out there and replace like a lot of old content, really. Mm. And, That's the plan, really, yeah. And I suppose as well, reach out for those bigger and better venues as well. You know, don't be afraid to message them. And
yeah, because they're the ones that are going to have the couples that have probably got more...
the more budget.
More budget to be able to afford those prices. It's getting into them venues. Because, you know, you've noticed as well, there's some people that I know that are charging a lot of money and producing the same work than somebody who's charging half their...
But
they're in the right areas and getting in front of the right couples.
Yeah, it's all marketing, isn't it?
You know, you go to a super high wedding venue, we expect there to be super high priced wedding suppliers, don't you? It's just the way it is, isn't it, sometimes?
Yeah, yeah.
That's exactly what I'm trying to do. I want people to look at my stuff and think, well, just instantly, like,
premium.
Yeah, he's premium, he's high end, like, I should expect to pay premium prices for this. And that happened quite recently when someone inquired. And then they said, oh, that's, you know, unfortunately, that's above our budget, but I should have realized that looking at your Instagram. And I thought, oh, well, okay, well, that's good. That's well,
at least you're giving out the right messages. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to.
But you're tweaking your product to just give it that extra level of like luxury and finessing it.
But you could have even, and we're talking about discounts of things, weren't we, a little while ago? Do you think that bride was completely out of your price range? Or do you think with a little bit of chatting, a bit of coaxing? Because I'm one of these guys, I think sometimes the price, you either haven't great enough desire. I don't know. I think if somebody really wants something, they'll find a way to find the money to do it. I don't know. What's your thought on that?
A few miles out. I got an inquiry
how far out you are,
years ago, and I sent them a price after a bit of chatting. And she came back saying that the price I'd quoted her was more than the entire wedding reception.
Wow.
So I just, you know, I knew
it's not going
there was
anywhere,
no point trying to, fair enough, discuss that because I was way, way out. And there was, I get if we want it bad enough, she'd have paid it. But when they're spending that on their whole wedding.
I think for me, it's like you've got to make sure that you create the most desire. Again, I go back to a story with a couple who inquired, you know, a year or so ago, came back, I'm out of the budget. And I said, not a problem, hope it's a great wedding, da, da, da. And then their friend saw me at a wedding and then they recontacted me every month later saying, oh, we're thinking we might want to book you now. And I was like, what's changed? Somebody else has seen me at a wedding, raved about me to them, and they've just gone, oh, mate, we should get in there, we'll make it happen.
The FOMO,
and they did make it happen. They did their wedding. It was freaking amazing. So it's like... So it's one of them, isn't it? It's, like from your experience there, somebody whose wedding reception's costing less than your fee, forget that one.
Yeah.
If you're £500 out, I think there's a way of getting that booking, you know.
Like you say, if they want it bad enough, they will. They'll always find the money. Like, you can borrow from parents and stuff, but I don't know. Like, where do you put your time and effort? Do you put it into the people that are probably never going to part with the money?
I'm with you. Yeah.
Or just try and focus on the people that have just got that money and don't even question it.
I've had bookings where people have not even had a photographer. They've added like an X amount of budget, can't afford both.
Yeah.
That are good. You know, you can always get someone cheaper that might be just starting out, and then you could have both, but they wanted someone that was good. So they only booked one thing, that was a videographer, me. So that's how they've like managed to get what they wanted by.
That says to me that you're setting yourself up right with your.
Mm.
Showing your quality, because they wanted something of a certain level.
Yeah,
they were willing to not bother with the photographer so that they could have the video quality that they wanted.
Yeah, and actually, that was the first wedding ever like that where there was no photographer, and I found it a lot harder because we rely on them a lot, don't we, to pose people and we just sort of blend in and just get shots.
Yeah. You have to take that role. Yeah.
I've done a couple, but they're few and far between.
Yeah,
And it's a weird, it is a weird one because it's everyone looks to you, don't they?
Yeah,
but it's lonely.
I started out just, I used to be called Daniel Johnson Films because that was my main thing. But then, despite being called Daniel Johnson Films and only posting films, I'd get inquiries of people saying, like, how much are your photography prices? And so yeah. I thought, well, I've got a camera here that can do photos. I don't mind taking photos. So I started, that was another thing that I implemented into the business as well, like doing photography. I still heavily lean on video. So yeah, that probably helps me with, like, because it's happened a few times now where I've had a wedding without a photographer. So having, I can almost be a photographer when I need to be.
So you're adding to your packages and your offerings, aren't you?
Yeah.
And so branching out into.
Yeah, going into with what the demand is. Like, if you're getting extra depression a lot.
That's going to be a way to then increase, because going back to the, being at this price point, how do you progress beyond that? You could just increase your offerings, couldn't you?
Yeah, that's it. Creating opportunities and saying yes to everything. And clearly there's a demand for that, so yeah. Okay, make it work then. Be a photographer, and
so yeah, you've done the weddings where you're the photographer and you're the videographer as well, and you'd get help with the video and do the photos.
Yeah, started out doing hybrid ones like that, where I do both photo and video
on your own.
Yes.
Wow.
No longer offer that though.
I'm not surprised. I mean, you know, fair play, but it sounds like it would be really hard.
It is hard work.
You could offer catering a lot of that. Just singing, couldn't you?
Pull a hot dog out of my pocket.
You can't do both 100% photo and video. There's a bit of give on each side of things.
Sacrificing, like, something, aren't
you?
You
are.
It's just so you.
I thought, well, really, I want to be producing 100% of everything that I can.
Then you bring someone along to do.
So
to do
now one I have a package where they bring a photographer, and then they know me. I've worked with them before. And they know my style, so they'll keep that in mind on the wedding day.
I was wondering if my feet would be getting in the shot there, Adam. Sorry.
It looks a bit unprofessional, right?
It does.
Yeah, it really looks bad on an audio podcast.
Do you like socks? Anybody who's listening?
You always have
bright blue,
socks,
bright pink,
you?
Bright yellow socks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got some socks now for, like, bluey on them. It's for, like, kids at weddings and stuff like that. So you can sort of get them on your side.
Excellent.
Yeah. Just show them. And I've got like SpongeBob on there and Patrick. And
I didn't know I'd talk about that in the course section.
Maybe, yeah.
Because I wear, when I'm singing,
so you stopped at a talking point.
I wear ridiculously weird, loud, bright socks, and I do it because it's a talking point.
Yeah.
People go, oh, I like your socks.
Yeah, but I love, like, making sure you've got kid characters so you can.
Yes.
Yeah, that's Squidward on there. And stuff.
You always try and get the kids
on
side
because
you want
them
to be doing, you know, acting up for the camera.
I'm going to get some SpongeBob SquarePants.
That's your takeaway tip from this podcast.
No, genuinely. Do you know what? Everyone that we speak to, I always take away. I know we're hosting these things, but I always learn so much. And that,
taking my sock game now to
today's
next level.
From today's,
there you go. You're welcome.
And I especially Bluey, because I absolutely love Bluey. Like, me and Jade watched an episode of Bluey without our child the other day.
Oh my god! Yeah, my kids.
How good it is.
Well, Thomas the Tank was mine.
We waited until she'd gone to nursery because we didn't want her to interrupt us, and we watched it without her there.
You watch the kiddies program.
Yeah, but it's Bluey.
It's
great. Anyway, I digress.
Catching up on Bluey. Going back to offering hybrid stuff, doing both photo and video, and this would be a good story about creating opportunities. I had an inquiry from someone that I used to know from years back who said that she's getting married in Zante in Greece, and I was like, brilliant. Like, when I read the message, my first destination wedding, we'd love for you to photograph the party when we're back in the UK.
Oh,
damn, not a photographer.
Yeah. And I thought, well, that sounds like I don't want to do that, like, compared to what you've just told me. So I created the opportunity. I said, well, how about if you pay for travel and accommodation, I'll come and do that for free, that first destination wedding. And
I'm with you. They said we're getting married in Zante.
Yeah.
And then they went,
coming back.
Photograph the UK version.
UK one.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I've had them before.
Yeah. So I thought, well, there's like a golden opportunity. Like, I might as well chase it up. And before I knew it.
They did.
Everything was booked. Perfect. And I did it. So that was a hybrid one. So that was very difficult. Delivered 900 photos and a 3 to 5 minute film and the full ceremony and speeches. I worked very hard. That was a very tough wedding.
In Zante.
In Zante, yeah.
In the heat.
Baking heat in August.
Yeah. But mate,
if you
wanted destination work on your portfolio and you've spotted that opportunity that you wouldn't have had otherwise, and you're willing to do it,
and it helped warrant, like, the increase in price and stuff as well, because it must be good. Is
destination, And then that wedding might have led to...
Well, that got me another booking, possibly, for a destination wedding 2 weeks later, before I even went to the Greece one, because I was posting about it. So I think people associate like that already. So just
great that you
capitalizing
that
on that opportunity. So then,
because a lot of people would have just gone, I'll photograph your UK one, no problem.
Yeah, well, that's it. Just create your
obviously, opinion. Like, you know, don't go out offer yourself free all the time, but recognize where it might be beneficial 100%. For you to do that.
The one that was 2 weeks later in Sorrento, that one was a paid one.
Mm.
So it didn't even take long to just one free
you've
one.
You justified it there, haven't you?
Yeah. Big time. And with travel and accommodation.
We do talk about another podcast, the benefits of doing free stuff when you want to get a certain place and do certain things. And I think that was with Ellie and Harry, wasn't it? Mm. And there's a perfect example there. He's gone out and done that for free because it's giving you some really good portfolio work and it's telling the world that you're a destination filmmaker.
Yeah, and if that's something that you want
and you've got
do.
A booking off it straight away off the back of it in Sorrento, paid.
Yeah.
So it does lead, it can lead to.
And then
great
a
things.
Couple the year after wanted to book that same venue because they saw it all over my Instagram. They followed me and saw it and they wanted to book that venue and then obviously wanted me out there. So. That first one led on to
it's so connected, isn't it?
So nice.
They're all connected. Because that's a big thing that I'm always thinking of. Like you just don't know what this could lead to. So just say yes to everything. It might not go anywhere and that doesn't matter to you, but just say yes to this opportunity, make it work, figure it out, and then you just let as many people know that you do what you do, get them to follow you and then constantly post so they're always reminded of you. But make it interesting as well. I see a lot of people post just that, the films.
Yeah.
That's not interesting to someone who's following like you, like, oh, it's someone else's film, you know. So
damn right,
it looks good when you go in your grid, you know, all these films, but it is a portfolio in a sense. But I see Instagram as a bit different than that. It's a bit more about me. So I know you talk about a lot posting yourself and people buying to people and stuff. So I do try and put my face out there and just post a variety of different things.
Yeah, you want it to be relatable for people.
Films are my worst performing thing ever, so I don't post full films anymore on Instagram. Teaser films are terrible. I knock something up in a couple of hours, just like a reel of some footage to some trendy music. Did you see this? And that went really well. I posted the teaser the next day, and it got like half the amount of views and likes. And that's
just
more time on
this. This is a segue, but... did you have a reel recently that's like a million plus views?
Well, this is it, yeah. So putting all that effort into making, obviously you're going to put effort into making the films look good for the couple and like that's important, but also like putting a big caption and tagging all the other vendors and everything. Whereas I've just posted a video of something funny that happened at a ceremony and then 1.5 million views later, it's got 50,000 likes and took no effort at all. It was just something funny that happened. So it's just, that's more interesting for those people that are following you, whether it's bridesmaids from weddings that just want to keep following you because
it's
funny things.
Because obviously, I like that. Like that, you hear so many stories like that where you spend hours trying to get the perfect post for Instagram, and then the one that you just throw up with no thought performs well.
Well,
but
people are more into the personal stuff, without a doubt. Aren't
that that one is funny. It's relatable. Like I've been the clip on Daniel's Instagram, and it's just a clip of a bride and groom in a ceremony.
People share it as well.
Does he flop his lines or something in the ceremony?
Yeah. So it's...
And have a giggle about it. But it's...
All that I give, I have to you is what he said. Not all that I have, I give to you.
Yeah.
He said it the wrong way around. And it was quite funny on the day.
It's funny and it's relatable. And people go... People react to that better.
Loads of people are commenting on it saying like, this will be me. And then they tag their friends in it. And you can see as well how many people have shared it and sent it to other people as well.
Mm.
I forget the numbers, but it's massive.
Yeah, but as long as you gained like... loads of followers and inquiries.
A thousand followers that did in just
from one post.
You do it really well, Dan, because you're always doing personal stuff, whether you're editing in your office, whether you're out for a walk with your kids. You know, you put a lot of that content out as well as your films, and it's so important to do that. You know, I had and it's what people are engaged in. It's what they want to see. It's nice to show your films, but they're not normal followers. They're not really that bothered about somebody else's wedding, but they're bothered about you and the person who's potentially going to be doing their wedding.
Yeah,
because they feel that they know you. I had a couple come around here last week, and I asked who the filmmaker is, because I always ask. Hopefully, it's somebody that I know, and I get excited. But I didn't, and she showed me the profile on Instagram, and again, I was just like, I looked at it, and I just went, dropped my head, and said, I can't see it.
I can't see
it. There's no one.
Don't know who it is.
Who is it? It's just nice. Films of people.
My grid isn't the prettiest, but I don't think people will book you just on based on that anyway. I think mine hopefully is like interesting. So I know it's your shop front, but They're like, oh, that looks interesting. What is it? I want to click on that. I want to look
at that. Mix a bit all, don't you?
Yeah. So that's worked for me. Like, don't every now and again, I look at someone else's Instagram that does look pretty, and I think that, yeah, I want to do that. I want to do that. But I just never do. I just, this always seems to work. And a lot of it is because of TikTok, like that, obviously, like, became a thing. So I started posting on that. And then one blew up with 2.5 million views, and then another video, 1.5 million from a speech. So I thought, that clearly works. Like, it doesn't look prettiest on the grid or whatever, but no, it works. But
because of TikTok and in Reels, people are kind of used to that, like, not polished, imperfection kind of post now. Mm. And people expect to see more of that, and therefore are more engaged with that sort of stuff, aren't they?
Yeah, well, did you see the other day I put something on my stories? It's quite interesting that I said, those people that booked me past and present, how much of my stuff did you see before booking? Did you see full films or just bits on Instagram? And I literally wrote that. And there was only one person that said, we watched your full films. Everyone had just said just bits off Instagram.
Oh, all the time.
Couldn't believe it.
You get on the phone to a couple of inquired, and I'm like, oh, have you seen any of my work on my website? No, we've seen some bits on your Instagram, and then we just thought we'd get in touch. And that there's literally all they need to see.
One person that commented bought my feature film package at £2,000, and they'd not even seen a feature film, let alone the highlights film, just bits on Instagram.
Yeah.
So it's just
go to show what people look.
Yeah,
you know, how people book people now, and it's definitely the personal branding is the one, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, my website is for the full films, and occasionally,
yeah, you've got to have it on there,
YouTube as well is for the full film.
But the start, it's all the Instagram and the
like
personal
a massive stuff. Net, it's like the step before an inquiry comes in, you reach as many people as possible, and then eventually, like, you find someone that's going to inquire. Because I've done wedding fairs and made like one booking out of it, post a video. I made two bookings out of it, and that took no effort, and I didn't have to make a show reel and travel to a venue and spend hours there.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, the after place wedding fair, certainly, I think, when you're starting out. But I remember one Sunday a few years ago, and all my friends were in a wedding fair, and I had 3 wedding bookings coming to my house to meet and chat to me. And I thought, well, I don't need to do it. I've got 3 people coming here today who could potentially book me, and I've got a one-on-one experience with them. Not knocking wedding fairs, they are good, but I just think sometimes it's not the be-all and end-all. At the start, when you're meeting suppliers, I think that was the one, isn't it, with the wedding fairs? Meeting suppliers and getting to know venues, that's one of the reasons you should do them at the start. Anyway, well, I'm going off topic a little bit. I don't know what. I'm freestyling.
Do you know what, mate? You're doing so well, but you're doing all, and it's so nice to sit here and hear, because we've obviously known about your journey since you started, because you bought the course at the very start, and we've kept in touch since then. It's just so nice to see. From us, it's so fulfilling to see someone do so well.
Thank you very much. That means a lot.
Because I know how great the industry is, and you can quickly earn money, and you can replace your job, and you can have a great life where you can be at home more with your kids and stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, to then be able to then share that with someone else who can then also go and have a life that they love, it's just a great thing.
Oh, yeah.
I'm wondering it. Do you think you'd be where you are now if you didn't buy our course, or do you think you'd still be a bit further back in the journey? You'd get there eventually.
100%. I'd probably be 2 years, 3 years behind now.
Wow.
And that's
the knowledge that you give.
The benefit of, if you can invest in some sort of education or mentoring the people that you look up to, then
it's a fast track.
Asking the right people the right questions as well. So every, like I say, opportunity, every wedding I did, like, I'm with a photographer who's got so much more experience than me. So it's just asking, rather than me talking about myself and everything, just ask them questions about themselves and learn all the time.
Just be a sponge.
Yeah, be a sponge, exactly. Yeah, soak up as much as possible.
I think we're really lucky now in the world where there's a course on anything.
Oh, there's content out there for everything, isn't there?
Yeah,
literally.
You know, it's like when I started selling on Amazon 8 years ago, whatever, first thing we did, spent £1,000 on a course, but it just got us so quick to be able to go on there and start earning money, and it worked.
Yeah.
But yeah, you've done really well, and you're on that journey, and it's just like, I mean, just go from 2020 to what, 3 years? Since you quit your job now, so, 21 to 24.
3 years, and then I'm obviously booked up for this
and
year.
You're
17
booking
for next
consistently.
Year.
So what's the goal? What's the next steps?
Well, it's loads of mini goals, really, just to keep on getting better and better weddings and improving my product.
Yeah. Is that something you want to do? Do you want to progress the price point and or maybe do less or be at nicer venues? Or
I'd love to have a course as well at some point. but you know, I need to figure out what that's going to be.
Steady on.
No, exactly. But that's because I've got
put that in. Can't put that in.
No, do you know what? It's for anyone. Once you get established and you are doing well, then it's an avenue that a lot of people go down, is that education. Start offering. You know, a lot of suppliers do that. I'm going to start offering education because I've got all this experience now, and it's a way to branch off your revenue.
I suppose one goal would be that I want to be a judge at a TWIA event or something like that. I want to be, you know, that's what I see. Like, and I'm fully recognized where I am now, like very early days and everything. I've got a long way to go, and I'll keep on improving and getting better. But yeah, I'd love to be recognized, you know.
Yeah, so being a judge at the Wedding Industry Awards is a goal.
It's good that you've got like
100%
several goals, and they're not all like monetary. It's nice to have like ambitions. Profile wise,
yeah, the money things, like that's
something that was one of my goals, was to win the Wedding Industry Award.
Yeah,
and still not the national one was the one.
That'll definitely be a goal of mine. I'd have to win it first.
You kind of won it.
It keeps you striving, doesn't it? And it's something to obviously focus on, your bookings and your money that's coming in, but also like creative. Like for me, the Wedding Industry Awards was that I'll win that once my films are good enough. So that would tell me that like my business is good enough because I'm earning loads and I'm booking loads, but my films are good enough because I've won that. And it's just it's nice to have different goals for different reasons and different parts of
And just to keep on enjoying it as well. That's the main thing, because I love the job.
You, don't it?
So that, just to keep on.
Well, it's the journey, isn't it? It's the journey rather than the destination.
100%.
Because when you get to the destination, it's like, oh shit, need to replace it with another goal really quick. But it's the journey on the way to these things that just
what advice would you give to like to get to the next level, like price point wise, to get from like the stand out above everyone else and get to that higher level, justify charging a bit more than everyone else?
We need at least 5 more podcasts to go over it.
Well, maybe we should get a podcast on that.
I think we need to do that. We've been asked for it before, haven't we? There's too many things to go over in it. At the end of this podcast, that's all about death.
You're certainly on that trajectory, I think. Like, your work is good, and you know, and obviously work comes into it, but it's not so much about that once you get higher and higher and higher. But I certainly think that your work is worth more than what you're charging now, so you're definitely on your way to getting into that next level.
Thank you very much. That's going on my stories.
I'll send you the clips. Yes. Yeah, anyone listening to this, Daniel Johnson, give him more money. He's going to start charging you more, and he's worth it.
Okay.
If you get to my price point and it's between me and you, then bring it on.
Did we have a question?
Yes. Yeah, ending questions. All right, so to wrap up, we ask everybody, as you may know, where's my phone? I've forgotten what the question was.
Is it in our notes?
Yeah, it will be. Is that yours? We'll come back to it. If you could swap disciplines with any and do anything else within the wedding industry, like, you know, if you could turn up to the day and do something, not videography or photography,
what would you do?
What would you do?
DJ. Yeah, DJ. Which I think is yours answer.
That
isn't
was my
it?
Answer, yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's this illusion that, like, you're going to just play, play incredible Ivy tunes and everyone's going to go.
Or a sax player, because, like, they don't get. The sort of like, you know, they don't get all the requests
I used to look at like Dax and be like, God, it's cool.
Yeah,
I want to do that. Everyone's eating out the parmesan. I want that. Because do you know why I think that is? It's because we don't get that on the wedding day. We get, oh, you've been great today, but like the real plaudits and praise comes once they see the film, which
especially with the style as well, because we try and be discreet and minimalistic and go under the radar. So. Hopefully.
So people don't really know what
if you don't get comment,
do
you've sort of done your job. Because
whereas something like that visual that's there, and, oh my God, you're
instant
amazing.
Gratification. Yeah. You
I just did a wedding recently where they said that we saw your films and absolutely loved it, and we were a guest at the wedding, but we didn't even know they had a videographer. You were there as a guest and didn't even see me.
I get that with you all the time, and I wonder as well when I do weddings with you. So like, where's that? Yeah. Did he even get any footage today? Crazy.
No, is probably the answer. So our last guest, Sarah Elizabeth, who is the website designer who we had on
yeah,
the last podcast, her question for the next guest, which is you, and we're going to ask you to leave one for the next guest after this.
Yeah.
So her question was, what was your brand vision when you set out, and did you stick to it? Does it still align? So, you know, what was your vision for your business, and where did you see it going?
Answered it in the whole podcast.
I know.
Yeah,
it's often the way with these questions, isn't it? We have them from somebody, and then it's like, oh, we've already covered that.
To show personability show that through what I post and everything.
That was important to you from the start. Yeah. That personal side.
Yeah, and just to give that like feeling of like trust, reliability, and everything, and yeah, just having that on there, like people feel like they know me. So yeah, always just replying to people as well. Like that's always been important to me to help build like that association.
I think the answer is, did you stick to it? Yes, you did, because it's of your Instagram. Like I can tell.
Yeah, and you hit that vision, and
and it looks to me from the outside when you're posting selfies with your couples and you're posting all your that you really do like get on with your couples, and it must be so reassuring for someone inquiring to go, looks like he really gets on with his bride.
That's what I'm trying to put across for sure. And I had someone when I posted the selfie of them that I took, they replied to me and said like, oh brilliant, like we're so happy to like be on your grid now. Like they saw it as like a badge of honor.
Excellent.
You know, it's like we almost want to
buy weddings made your feed. Yeah.
So that was pretty cool.
You get that, don't you? I've had brides that are like, are you going to put my wedding on your Instagram?
You know that little...
I wasn't going to with that one, to be honest.
You know, those little videos little two-minute videos, I've asked, oh, can you do us one of those videos? Yeah. It's like, well, not really the video, but probably.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah.
I actually have that on my questionnaire. It's, can we get a selfie together towards the end after all the nitty-gritty stuff? Can we get a selfie together?
Parts of your terms and conditions must have selfie.
Contractual selfie.
Yeah, it says absolutely or no. And everyone always says absolutely. So then it's not so strange when you mention it on the day.
What, just like, what you do? If somebody says no, you just you don't want that booking, do you? If they don't want a selfie with you, come
all
on.
Right, all right. Okay.
I just wouldn't mention it.
Okay. So can we have a question for the next guest who will remain anonymous?
Yeah. Do you know who it is?
No.
I don't know. I think probably sticking with this sort of theme of things, like what was the defining moment that made you realize that you exactly where you wanted to be? Because you can often like too busy, focus too much on the future and forget to look back and all that stuff. So like what realization was it for you that made you think that, hang on, this is what I wanted to be doing. This is, I am where I am, where I wanted to be. Yeah. Sorry.
Moment of realization?
Do you feel like you've got to where you wanted to be when you set out?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You've just gone beyond it. Because you move the goalpost then, don't you?
You do. Yeah. So it's important to recognize it. And like when I've got like a wedding, it's like, it might be like an hour drive, 2 hour drive, and it's a nice sunny day. You know, you've got all your stuff in the car, everything that you wanted, and it's a good wedding. And you're just like listening to these podcasts or something. And you just think, I've got the year booked out. Like, this is it. This is what I wanted to be doing. Just,
that's my life,
different life, isn't it, from where you were a few years ago? It's a totally different life. Yeah.
We're still not add your embarrassing story. Have you got one? We can end it if not.
I think I'm going to get in the car and just remember all of these embarrassing stories and stuff.
You could send us a little voice note with it, or a video.
If you remember one.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Daniel Johnson. Wedding.
Thank you.
Daniel Johnson Weddings on Instagram or whatever. Anyone that wants to check you out. And do go on, because if you're at the start or you're in that same boat as Dan and you're on that journey, then, you know, I think you're how far you've come in your journey is really, like, I find it really inspiring and I think it's brilliant. Your work ethic's ridiculous and you're doing all the right things, you're doing well, so it's definitely something that people that are starting out can
I think it shows that anybody can do it. No matter, you know, I mean, Dan is you're not an extroverted sort of person, you know, on the surface you're just like just a normal guy, just a friendly nice guy, and some people think to get in the wedding street you've got to be this sort of outrageous kind of person sometimes, and you don't. Anybody can make it happen if they've got the belief and the passion to make it happen. You know.
Couple of lads from Blackpool.
Yeah.
And good.
Yeah, it's weird. It's just once you've got that like camera in your hand, you feel like you can be that person for a wedding.
And like you said this, I don't feel like dangerous to think like, oh yeah, but like there's no way I'll be filming like weddings in Cheshire or London or whatever. I'm just from Blackpool, like, you know. That like those kind of prices are like way beyond, but you know,
yeah,
doable, isn't it? It's doable.
Of course, it is.
It is definitely attainable, and
brilliant.
Hopefully, I'm proof.
Yes, mate.
You are, because you
invest in yourself. That's the thing. So yeah, getting a course and educating
and buy our course.
Is he just pushing our course again? I didn't tell him to do that, by the way.
If you are a videographer and you're watching this, or you want to just buy it for the business advice,
and I think
it's on offer.
Well, a lot of people have done well in the course. It's not just me. There's lots of people that are still smashing it from your course. It's a great and stuff. And,
oh, without God, yeah. This
and the referral side of things as well has been invaluable to.
Anyway, mate, we're glad you got on it, because if you didn't, we wouldn't be sat here now talking about it. So
yeah, well, I was brilliant. I'm amazed when you asked me. I was very very honoured. So thank you.
Thank you. You're very welcome.
Thank you. See you next time. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Bye bye bye. Bye.
So thanks so much for listening. We really hope that you found this episode insightful, inspirational, and if you did enjoy that, then please consider subscribing to us wherever you get your podcasts, iTunes, Spotify. We're a Think Wedding Business.
We're also on YouTube and Instagram, so if you want to watch us, you can go over to YouTube and find us at Think Wedding Business, and the same over on Instagram to keep up with all of our future episodes.
We'd really love you to subscribe and join us on this journey. And if you do like this content, please consider giving us a 5-star review. It just helps us get seen and helps spread the word.
So thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.